Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. Listen for the word of the Lord. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, God saved us, not because of any works of righteousness that we had done, but according to God's mercy through the water of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. This Spirit God poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, having been justified by God's grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. The word of the Lord. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the water of rebirth that you bring us through. We pray that you will speak to us this morning and through the words we've heard and the words we're about to hear. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I worry I might have to keep wearing my mask again in a few weeks when Omicron gets here. You're all familiar with John 3, right? That scene where Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night and Jesus says, in the King James Version, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You know that one? Sort of, there's this whole movement where people talk about having been born again. In the Christian tradition I came from, it was really important to get people to make a decision for Jesus, and these evangelists would come and try to scare you and convince you maybe that last time you asked Jesus into your heart, you didn't really mean it. And, you know, you get the numbers up by convincing more and more people, because at the revival services, it's like the same 100 people every night, and you got to get them all born again and again and again, keep your numbers up so you get, 500 commitments to Christ and only 100 people showed up. Because the numbers are important. The more people you get, you can convince churches to hire you to do another revival service. And it's just a numbers game. Rich Mullins, Christian singer-songwriter who died of forever years ago, 20 years ago probably, he talked about getting born again in one of his concerts. He said, used to be I'd only get born again about every year. That was when I was going to camp. Every year you'd go and you'd get born again. You'd go up there and pray and cry and feel like a fool. Yes, it's embarrassing to be born again, but imagine how embarrassing it must have been to be born the first time. At least this time you get to wear clothes. But I've been thinking about what Jesus is talking about when he says you must be born again. And I think that idea of being born again really resonates with my experience and probably a lot of our experience. When you're born the first time, you're entering the world, and the chaos that you came from is nothing like the chaos that you're going into, and it's nothing that you've experienced so far has prepared you for what you're about to encounter. And it's going to take a long time to figure out how to orient yourself in this new world. You gotta learn how to breathe. Babies don't breathe in utero. It seems like everybody around you, when you're born, already knows how to breathe, and somehow you don't. Anybody come into a world where you just had to learn to breathe all over again? Got to learn to walk and talk and behave. And this whole time, though, there's this mother figure when you're born, this person that you just absolutely depend on. You can't get along without them, and it's super disorienting. It's this wild experience of coming from a place that was maybe squished but somehow comfortable. And now you're in a wide space that's both freeing and terrifying. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Like when I went to college, I had no idea how to be in that new space or how to do any of that. But that was the sense that God was there that I didn't even have at the time, but I've come to believe that God was there. Or like when you start a new job, you've trained for it and you've done all this preparation, but nothing really prepares you for doing it. You know? When it comes down to it, nothing prepares you for getting born. But in another way, everything that was happening before prepares you for that. On the day Kristen and I got married, my friends John and Kiefer drove me to the wedding, and all the way there, I kept going, I'm going to die. And it wasn't because I was afraid of getting married to Kristen. Like, every time I thought about it, I was like, okay, it's just Kristen. It's okay. you know, it's not somebody scary. Somebody I liked. Still like. That feeling like I'm going to die, I kept saying that. And then I felt like maybe I did die. The version of me that was single died and was reborn on the dance floor after the wedding. Or like when Ryan was born, I had to write name of mother, and I almost wrote my mom's name. I was like, you know, that's not... And it came to the name of father. I was like, oh, that's me. But that it was sort of being reborn as a parent. And maybe that's a little bit what Jesus is talking about when he talks to Nicodemus and says, you must be born again. Nicodemus has all the answers, and he's in a world that he's very comfortable with. He knows the things. And he gets born. And for him to be born again means for him to come into a place where he just doesn't know anything and is dependent on God for everything. Maybe one thing Jesus might have meant. But not all births are that sort of beautiful experience. When Ryan was born, he had to get rushed off to intensive care, and I was just so afraid that he was going to worry because we weren't there. Because he was away from us for, what, 4 hours? I think it was 4 hours, and they brought him back in one of those little glass cases and all plugged into the wires and everything, and I looked at him, and he was okay. And I almost cried. They shipped him off to Children's Hospital, and by the time I got there, it had been maybe 10 hours or so since he'd been born, and Kristen had been reading up on how important it is to have skin-to-skin contact with your mom right after you're born, and he hadn't been able to, and Kristen had to stay at the hospital for a few more hours, and I got there, and oh, I had pictures. Dance floor. Getting born again as a husband. And when Ryan came to, I made it to Children's Hospital, and they finally let me back in the room, and I said, can I hold him? Because I know how important that skin-to-skin is. And even if he can't have it with his mom, he's got to have it with somebody. So the nurses said it was okay, and I picked him up, and I took off my shirt, and I just held him right there. And that wasn't what he needed, you know? What he needed was to crawl up on mama's chest and nurse right after he was born. In the moment, that wasn't what he needed, but it was all that I could give him. And I gave it to him with everything I had. And God's love and kindness, for whatever reason, maybe can't always reach us in the way that we need. You know, the song, you can't always get what you want, but sometimes you get. Sometimes you find you get what you need. Sometimes it seems like you don't get what you need either, but God's grace sustains us somehow. Like, back when I was an English teacher, I had taken all the classes and, you know, on Bible, because, you know, that was really my interest. But I was an English teacher, and I really needed a verse to cling to sort of get me through some really rough time being a teacher. I had a really rough time being a teacher because I had no idea what I was doing. It was a school that was desperate enough to hire someone with no experience and no training. It was a rough time for me. But I was looking for a verse, but I was like, okay, I can't claim, you know, Jeremiah 29:11. What was that one? Shoot, I know the reference. What's Jeremiah 29:11, somebody? I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you hope and a future. And I was like, that's for Israel. That's not for me. I can't claim that. And I had nothing. When Ryan was born, Kristen had a hard time getting him to nurse and getting him to get a good latch. And it was just really frustrating because he'd been in intensive care for a couple weeks and he just wasn't eating anything. And I feel like that's what it was like when I was sitting there. I just wasn't taking any nutrition. And then I came home and I found a song, speaking of Rich Mullins, by Rich Mullins, called All the Way My Savior Leads Me. It's an update from a Fanny Crosby song, and it just got me through. God giving me what I needed, and even though I wasn't quite ready to take it the way I wanted, you know, Kristen learned that one trick is you just flip your baby a different way and maybe they'll latch. And I felt like that was kind of what happened. I asked Ronnie to play that song in my ordination service. So of course it's right that the Savior, Jesus, who's in some ways the mother of the world, gets born. Jesus, who says to Jerusalem, 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 how often I have wanted to gather you up like a mother hen gathers up her chicks, but you wouldn't have it. Of course it's right that Jesus, the mothering Jesus, gets born out into the world just the way that God bears all of us out into the world. He nurses just the way God nourishes all of us as we emerge into new worlds through uncomfortableness. It's right that Jesus gets born, but it's incredible. Sometimes we don't even realize that it's happening, that we're getting fed by God. Kristen learned sometimes that you can feed babies at night without waking them up. Just scoop them up and nurse them. And she calls it a dream feed. How many times have we been nourished and cared for by God and just not even known it? And then when we pass through that last final womb of death, we'll be born again into a world that we have no experience in. But I believe more surely than I believe in anything that we will awaken and find ourselves in the presence of God who made us, who cared for us until our hair was white with age, and who will carry us along and save us. The one born into the world like we are, the one who was God Almighty, born unable to lift his own hand like Adam in that painting by Da Vinci. Jesus, the creator of the universe, able only to scream, came out and saw in a black and white blur the face of Mary, the slave of the Lord, in the line of Judith and Jael and Miriam and Hannah and Sarah and Rebecca and Leah. Being a mother takes a lot of strength. Imagine being the mother of God Almighty. But I believe we will awaken on the other side of that womb and finally see the one in whose womb we've been all our lives, face to face, face to the face with the one who birthed us all and mothers us all and was born a babe in Bethlehem. Let's pray. God, we thank you for the way you've carried us and birthed us and brought us and nourished us into the new worlds that we find ourselves in over and over as we're born again and again and again. The consistent part, the same thing that keeps us going is you. You feed us when we think we're not hungry. You feed us when we're not even aware you're feeding us. And you hold us and carry us even when we're not aware. We thank you for your love. In Jesus' name, amen.